if you've been around for the last few weeks, you're familiar with the fact that God is calling us here at Abundant Life Church to a time of building, to a time of growing the church family, to a time of seeking out the lonely and the lost and inviting them in to our family. I think it was great how Dave and Debbie were talking about adopting Tim into their family. It is, it's that spirit of adoption, really becoming family. So this summer, God has us in a series called A Time to Build. Some lessons from Nehemiah. And you see, we can learn a lot about building God's way from Nehemiah. Last week, we discovered that it all begins with
prayer.
It all begins with prayer. And we remember that if we're going to be a people who are used by God to build His church and to accomplish His plans in our lives, live the lives that He created us to live, then we must be people of prayer. We've got to seek Him. We've got to get His heart on everything. This week, Nehemiah shows us that building a life and building a church God's way requires proper planning and preparedness. In other words, we must be prepared. That happens to be the motto for the Boy Scouts, right? Be prepared. I don't think they were the ones who came up with that. It's not an original for them. Nehemiah is going to show us this morning that he's a guy who understood what it meant to be prepared. And we're going to learn a lot about the importance of preparing, of being ready, of being equipped, of not going into something blindly. First, let us look at the words of Jesus as it relates to this subject. Turn with me to Luke 14, 28 through 31. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and he's not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "Hey, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish." So Jesus is reminding us there, we got to know what it takes. Estimate. What's it going to really take to finish the race, to build a life God's way? Jesus continues, "Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. Again, Jesus is directly talking about count the cost before saying you're going to follow me, because it's going to cost you everything, and are you ready for it to cost you everything? But in those words and in that message is also a message of be prepared. Know what it's going to take and be ready. Be ready and have the materials, and have the time, and have the heart to move forward with it. It was about a week ago, my older sons and I, I think Ben was involved with it too. We had a little building project happening at our house. It was very high tech and very fancy. We built a metal roof, kind of tin roof, overhang or carport type structure off of our shed, to put lawnmowers and bikes under and stuff like that to keep them away from the UV rays, because things are getting torn up. You know, you leave them outside. So we thought, okay, what are we going to do here? So what do we do first? We measured. I measured. I got the measurements. I put together a really quick materials list, and we went to Home Depot, because there's one right down the street. And we bought the materials. We got back. We started the project. The first thing was digging the holes to lay those footers. And we started pouring in the concrete that we had mixed up and putting it in the holes. And we get halfway through the second hole, and guess what? We were out of concrete. So we went back to Home Depot. We came back, took care of that issue, started putting together the structure. The 2x4s and everything were going up. And we get to the end of that, and hey, I'm missing one 2x4. If it's going to be 12 feet, you're going to put them on, you know, every 24 inches. You need 7 2x4s, not 6 of them. 12 divided by 2 is 6, yes, but there's that 7th one on the end. Bummer. So where do we go? We went back to Home Depot. And then we started putting together more, and we ran out of 2.5-inch screws. So where do we go? Back to Home Depot. I mean, guys, if there is anybody in here who doesn't have that problem, please raise your hand. I need to get to know you. I mean, it's like going back and forth to Home Depot anytime there's a project, even something as simple as that. But you see, Nehemiah, he was a master builder. Nehemiah was a master builder, and he understood this important godly precept of being prepared. So this morning, we're going to check out 4 principles of being prepared that we can learn from Nehemiah. So let's pick up the story of Nehemiah where we left off last week. See, after talking with the king, and because of the favor of God that was on him, he gained permission to travel and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem to see firsthand that destruction, that city that was in shambles, the walls crumbled down, things burnt up with fire. I'm sure he felt overwhelmed when he saw everything. He probably felt that need in him to just get working right away, to go after it, to start grabbing rocks and putting them on top of one another and building things up. He felt an urgency, I'm sure. But there was a more immediate need in Nehemiah's life. Nehemiah needed a nap. He needed to rest. Replenish. He needed to get recharged before he dove into this project. See, this is the first principle I want us to take from Nehemiah this morning as we learn how to be prepared before we build. You know, we're talking specifically here about building the church, building the body of Christ, growing the body of Christ. But all of these principles, everything that we're learning from Nehemiah, can be applied to building our own lives God's way, to building our families God's way, to building friendships and relationships God's way. If you have a company, to building your company God's way. So I want us, when we're looking at all of these principles, man, there's so many places that they need to be applied. Keep your minds wide open, a pen in your hand and a piece of paper, and start taking some notes. So the first thing, the first principle in being prepared is that we need to recharge. Before we dive into a building project, before we jump into fixing a problem, we need to make sure that we're recharged. It says here in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. I went to Jerusalem, Nehemiah says, and after staying there 3 days, then it goes on. Then I did all this stuff. Then all the amazing building happened. But did you see that? After staying there 3 days, then he gets busy with the task at hand. We got to understand, you see, Nehemiah traveled approximately 800 miles from Persia to Jerusalem. This was a trek. He probably, instead of having jet lag after he got there, he probably had something like camel lag. I mean, the guy was probably worn out, right around 40 days or so of traveling to get from Persia to Jerusalem. Ezra did the same thing, you know, several years earlier. He rested 3 days after he got to Jerusalem. We look at Elijah, who needed rest under the juniper tree. Even Jesus, who would take his disciples and he'd get away from all of the craziness and the busyness of ministry from time to time to rest, to recharge. You and I need to make sure that we replenish our resources, that we rest, and that we recharge on a regular basis. I think of before I was launched into ministry, had the calling. I knew the calling was on my life. And I knew God was about to send me into ministry. And so Velvet reminded me that right before that happened, I spent 3 days seeking the Lord in prayer and in fasting. And out of that time, boom, the ministry comes, and I'm launched. out of a time of recharging, of focusing on God, letting Him minister to me, letting Him build me up, making sure that I was resting in Him and not jumping out in my own strength and my own desires and my own passion, making sure that I was rested and filled in Him and with Him. Because see, nobody does their best when they're exhausted, right? Nobody does. You can't see straight. You can't think straight when you're tired. You make foolish, crazy decisions, man. Can't jump into something too quickly. We're called to wait upon the Lord. We're called to rest in Him. Then our strength is going to be renewed. Then we're going to find success. Now, this whole precept and principle of making sure that we're recharged and rested before we launch into something like ministry or seeking out the lonely and lost isn't an excuse for us just to be in limbo for years and years and years and just to sit back and say, well, I just need more time resting and recharging, you know. I'm just in that rest and recharge kind of phase of things right now. Wasn't that like a year ago you were saying the same thing? See, Nehemiah took 3 days. I mean, this guy had a massive project that he was called to lead. And he had just traveled around 800 miles to get there, to accomplish this. And the man took 3 days of resting and being recharged. And then he launched. You see, God has encouraged us to make sure that we get our rest. That's why He's given us the Sabbath. He says, look, you need to spend the first day of the week resting, getting recharged, getting filled with me, making sure that everything's restored, and then the next 6 days of the week, you go after it. You go after it, fully recharged with me, with the Holy Spirit, with all that you need. You give it everything you have. You don't leave anything on the field. I mean, you just go. I guess you leave it all on the field, right? Give it everything you got for 6 days because you know what? You got another day of rest coming. Get recharged again. Get recharged. It's not, unfortunately, very popular these days to honor the Sabbath. We need to. It's God's principle. It's His way of working. It's His way of operating. And when we don't honor the Sabbath, what we end up with is getting burned out with life, with parenting, with ministry, with work, whatever it might be, we start getting burnt out because we're just going 100 miles a minute. We don't have time for rest. We need to honor the Sabbath, keep it holy, get recharged. There's physical benefit that comes from that, and there's spiritual recharging and benefit that comes from honoring the Sabbath. So let's do it God's way. So building a life, building a family, building a church, God's way, we got to make sure we're recharged. The second thing that we need to do is we need to continue our preparation by assessing the need. You see, the second principle is reconnaissance. I decided to go with all R's on here. So God just gave me this really cool military term, reconnaissance. Let me read to you what that is. Because this is the second thing that Nehemiah did. He rested, he got recharged, and then he did reconnaissance. This is from the U.S. Army Field Manual, section 7-92, chapter 4. Right, Thomas? It says, reconnaissance is a mission to obtain information by visual observation or other detection methods about the activities and resources of an enemy or potential enemy, or about the characteristics of a particular area. You see, after Nehemiah rested and got recharged, he did some reconnaissance. He went on a recon mission to assess the needs. And we see this recon work in verses 12 through 16 of chapter 2. Nehemiah knew that in order to lead this project, he would need a first-hand picture of what must be done. In other words, he knew, I'm not just going to guess. I'm not just going to throw whatever at it. I need to know what is it that we're really facing so that we can do this the right way, so that we can be good stewards with the mission that God's called us to. So he did his recon work. scouted out the damage, and he started to make plans out of that. And again, Nehemiah didn't just start blindly building. He first measured. Any of you who have done any kind of woodworking know the term, measure twice, cut once. Measure twice, cut once. Very, very important. I used to build furniture. And I used some nice wood when I was building furniture. Pretty expensive wood. And if I would cut something wrong, there was a good chance that I was going to be out $40 or $50. So I learned that principle very quickly. Measure twice, cut once. Assess the situation so that the work that we do, so that the effort and energy that we're putting forth is going to be effective. That's good stewardship. So this recon mission done under the cover of night is one of the most dramatic scenes in the book. So what I want to do is I want to put a picture of a map up on the screen. And if you look at the map, there's a darker, wider outline of the wall. This would have been the wall that would have needed to be rebuilt with all of the gates. And if you look at the legend down here, this whole legend is 200 yards. So you're looking at a pretty big space, a pretty long wall that needed to be rebuilt. And so Nehemiah began his recon mission. So you can look at the map while I read the details of that, beginning in verse 12. Nehemiah says, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one that I was riding on. By night, I went through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as of yet I said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. So you get that picture, nighttime. He goes out there and he's checking out the situation, the brokenness, making sure that he understood what the needs were. So based on his reconnaissance, Nehemiah knew that this is going to be a big job. It's going to be demanding. The circuit of the walls were more than a mile long. The wall needed to be 3 or 4 feet thick. In places, it needed to be 15 to 25 feet high in order to properly protect the city. This is not going to be easy, but Nehemiah knew that he and his people had to give it their all. And the same is true about us. Kingdom work is demanding, but it's worth it. It can be really hard, but it's worth it. This past week, Velvet and I had a ministry gathering every night of the week. I have some people that I'm ministering to outside the church that are lost and lonely and need a lot of attention right now, requiring a lot of my time. Kingdom work, doing what God's called us to do, seeking out the lost and the lonely, being Jesus to other people, showing God's love to others, it can take a lot of work. But it's worth it. You see, after Nehemiah saw all the work that was needed, he didn't back off and walk away and said, well, wrong guy, this is too much work. I really don't have time for this. I've got a family. I've got others to take care of. I just don't have time for this, God. He didn't do that. We're going to see. He followed it all the way through. It was big, but he knew that his God is bigger. Have you done any recon lately? Have you done any assessing of the world around you, the world in which we live? If you have, you've seen that the world is broken. Just like the walls that Nehemiah found himself looking at. The world is broken. There's been a lot of destruction. A lot of people that are burnt up and burnt out. A lot of people that are hurting. Their lives are in shambles. They're desperate. and they need somebody. They need the people of God to first of all come out and assess the need and then to respond to the need, even if it's great, even if it's big, even if it's messy, even if it's hard. I want to encourage us as the people of God to spend some time doing some reconnaissance and letting God show us the condition of the spiritual wall and of the people that we live in and around. So the result of this reconnaissance mission leads us to the third point that we learned from Nehemiah. And that is that Nehemiah did some recruiting. He did some recruiting. Nehemiah didn't go at it alone. He needed to involve others. So he recruited the family of God. Said, these are the people that will help. These are the right people to get behind me. I can't do this alone. The wall's too big. The work is too much. I need to get others behind me to help me out. I think of our church. I think we are so good at that. Y'all are so good at coming alongside of one another in a time of need. When there's heavy lifting in particular that's needed, I think of all the moving projects, the families that have moved, the people of God coming alongside, and within a few hours, boom, it's done. It's incredible what happens when the people of God come together and we let our pride down and we reach out to others and we say, would you come alongside of me and help me with this? This is a big project. This is hard. Would you come help me with this? And when the people of God come together, whew, comes a piece of cake. I think we moved Linda. I think we moved you in a couple hours. It's unbelievable. Bam, it's done. So Nehemiah didn't go at it alone. He involved others. Verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and the gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. Let's go at it. So they began this good work. I want us to look very quickly at how Nehemiah assembled this workforce. First thing he did is he identified with the workers. I think that's really interesting. He didn't identify the workers. He identified with the workers. He said to them, you see the trouble we are in. We got to remember, Nehemiah just came from Persia. All of the others were living there in this broken down city in that area, in that region, for a while now. Nehemiah comes as an outsider, but he sees it and he immediately identifies with everybody there. Puts himself in their position, in their place. He passionately involved the city's welfare and felt its pain as though he'd been living in that desolate city all of his life. And it's something that we can learn from Nehemiah. We're all in this together. That was kind of Nehemiah's attitude. His attitude is, I'm in this with you. This isn't your problem and I'm just coming to rescue you and then I'm out of here. No, he said, hey, I'm in this with you. I'm one of you. And that's something that we, the body of Christ, have got to understand. That we're in this together. I'm one of you. You're one of us. We're all together. We're the body of Christ. We're the family of God. We're in this together. It's not you and me. It's us. It's us. And when you're going through a difficult time, I'm there for you. When I'm going through trouble and a hard time, you're there for me because it's about us. We identify with one another. We do life together. We love one another as family. Next, Nehemiah presents some spiritual perspectives on the situation as he's talking to the people of God. They're in trouble. It's not just because Jerusalem is in physical ruins. That's the obvious thing. But he says something else. He talks about that there's a spiritual disgrace that's happening. Because of the physical ruins, now they're disgraced among other nations, among the other people, among the pagans, who are laughing at them and ridiculing them. Your God isn't very big. Look at your God. Look at the condition of your city. Your God is weak. Does he even exist? The people of God were feeling disgrace because of the condition of Jerusalem and because of the walls. And Nehemiah identified that. You see, the sight of those collapsed walls had created this impression in the pagan mind that God had abandoned them. And Nehemiah recognized that there are always spiritual issues involved, though, in a building project. You've got the physical, but you also have the spiritual. Think about building the family of God, building a church. You have the physical needs of building a church. I'm not talking about the building too itself and the chairs and all that kind of stuff. But I mean just the processes of bringing people into the family of God. You have those physical processes happen. But there's also a lot of spiritual things that are happening. We say behind the scenes, but they're really not behind the scenes. I mean, they're happening. We got to understand the spiritual perspective of things as we're building something, as we're building our lives, as we're building a family, as we're building the church. There's a battle going on. I'm not going to go into that whole thing. Right? That's a whole other message to preach. But there is a battle going on in the heavenlies for our lives, for our families, and for our church. We need to understand that. You see, it's, as God's people, we too must be aware of spiritual opportunities and challenges as they present themselves to us. The final thing that Nehemiah does to bring the team together or bring the family together as he's recruiting the family of God to do this building project is he invites immediate action. Everyone knows exactly what is required. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. Pretty obvious. Let's rebuild the wall. The disgrace will disappear. Let's get her done. And the people of God said, let's do it. They didn't say next year. They didn't sit around and talk about what a bad situation they were in. They didn't just keep praying, oh God, we're in this bad situation. They knew what needed to be done. They knew what was needed. They didn't just talk about the problem. They didn't just curse the darkness. They brought the light. They did the right thing. They did what God had called them to do. Let's do God's work and the spirit of disgrace will be broken. And Nehemiah was asking a whole lot of the people of God. It was a huge project. He was asking a lot of them. I mean, they had to take time off from work, away from their fields. Who was going to protect their families and take care of their kids while they're on the wall building? He was asking a whole lot of the people. Yet they respond and say, yes. I believe one of the reasons it was easy, well, maybe it wasn't easy, but one of the reasons they did finally respond and really immediately respond and say yes is because Nehemiah reminded them that God is with them. That this is God's plan. And so he's inviting them to be part of God's plan. Not just some man-made project. Not just something that was concocted in his brain. But the plans of God. He's inviting the people of God to be part of that. And so they said yes. So I have a few questions. First one is this. Are you trying to make a go at it alone? I know we live in a culture where rugged individualism is celebrated. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that supposedly built this nation, rugged individualism. I understand the importance of personal responsibility. We got to have it. We got to be hard workers. But I fear that this quality of rugged individualism has created isolationism in a lot of people's lives, in a lot of families. As we all think, hey, it's just about me going after it, doing the best that I can do. I got to make it happen. I got to pull myself up from my own bootstraps. It's up to me. Pride plays a big role in that whole mentality. Not being willing to reach out to others. It's not good. It's not that God's design for our lives. We need one another. We need one another. We're not designed to make a go at it alone. We were designed to live out our calling from God together as the family of God. That's how God created it to be. And so I'm believing as we study the book of Nehemiah, we're going to see God's principle of unity playing out and what can happen when God's people come together in one heart, one mind, and one spirit and be a real family. Not just a bunch of individual nuclear families getting together at a few meetings, but I mean being the family of God, doing life together, having the same vision, the same mindset, and going at it together. It's beautiful and it's powerful. God has called us to a time of building His church, of growing the family of God by reaching out to the lost and the lonely, and we've got to do it together. Alone, we're going to fail or find very limited success, but together, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be beautiful, and it's going to bless the heart of God. So the final action that we see Nehemiah take in chapter 2 is this, is that he repels the opposition. So first, what does he do? He gets recharged, right? Then he does some reconnaissance, assessing the needs, making sure that he's going to move forward the right way, being a good steward of the project that God gave him. The third thing that we see him do is he recruits others. He doesn't do it alone. He involves the whole family of God in this project, in this vision, in this plan that God has. And the fourth thing is he repels the opposition. How many of you know when you say yes to God that there's going to be opposition? When you want to live God's way, somebody is going to come against you and try to stop that. When you say yes to righteousness, the devil doesn't like that. The enemies of God don't like that. So they're saying yes to God in this project of rebuilding the walls of the city, and there is immediately opposition. Check it out, verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you're doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them, saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. That's a response. You see, the enemy wants to thwart the plans of God. He wants to destroy God's plans for your life, for your family, and for the church. He wants to kill, rob, and destroy. And again, you assess the situation around us, and there sure is a lot of that going on right now. But for the people of God, we don't have to stand for that. We can repel the opposition. Nehemiah responded to the opposition, and he repelled it by first declaring that success comes by God's power. Success comes by God's power. The God of heaven will give us success, he says. Because he understands and he knows that if God is for us, then nobody, nothing can be against us. Do you have opposition coming at you in your life? Because you're doing things God's way? Success comes by God's power. Remind yourself of that. Declare that just as Nehemiah did. He declared it. He spoke it out. To the enemy even. He spoke it out. The second thing, Nehemiah repelled opposition by declaring their godly position that the people of God have. As he says, hey, he reminds everybody that we are his servants. We are God's people. We have to remind ourselves that same thing. That we are God's people. And when we remind ourselves that, and we remind the enemy of that and the world of that, it will repel the opposition. Who we are in Christ is so important. And when they were reminded of who they are, they continued the action. They said, and we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going because we are the people of God. We're not going to stop because of your accusations and your ridicule and your opposition. No. We are the people of God. God is for us, and so we will continue. The third thing that Nehemiah did to repel the opposition was he declared that the enemy has no rights and no share in their inheritance. And in declaring that the enemy has no right and no share in the inheritance, he, in those same words, he was declaring and reminding the people of God of their rights and of their inheritance. Do you have opposition coming at you in your life? You need to speak out and remind yourself, your family, and maybe even the opposition coming at you. You got to remind that success comes from God's power. You got to remind yourself of your godly position as a child of God, and you have got to remind yourself of the rights and the share in the inheritance that you have as a child of God. Live out of that reality, and the opposition's power is going to be diminished and put out. This is how we are to battle, and this is how we're to repel the opposition in our lives, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Did you hear the testimony of Nehemiah? Repelled the opposition. You responded to the lies with the truth of God. And so we, like Nehemiah, we got to be prepared. And we're going to be prepared. We're going to make sure that we're recharged. We're going to look at our lives and we're going to really be honest with ourselves. Are we honoring the Sabbath? Are we allowing ourselves to get recharged? Are we allowing God to minister to us and fill us so that we're going to be successful the rest of the week? I encourage you to do that. We're going to be prepared because we're going to do the reconnaissance. We're going to assess the situation of the world that we live in. We're not going to close our eyes and our ears and say, la, 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 we don't hear you, we don't see you. We're going to open up our eyes and allow God to show us the real spiritual condition and the climate that we're in right now, that God has called us to minister to and to rebuild. So we're going to do our reconnaissance. We're going to assess the climate around us. We're going to be prepared because we're going to recruit others to join us. We're not going to do this alone. We're going to do this as the family of God together. All together. It's a lot more fun to do things together anyway. You know? It just is. The fourth thing we're going to do to be prepared is we're going to continue to repel the opposition by speaking the truth of God into our lives, over our lives, and even reminding the opposition of who we are in Christ Jesus. We're going to be prepared and we're going to build God's way. His way is right. And His way lasts for all eternity. And when we build our lives, our marriages, and our family God's way, we're going to find amazing success. We're going to experience the favor and the blessings of our Heavenly Father. So y'all ready? You want to be prepared? Let's do it.